and a stage for community voices. Join our programming committee and become a driving force behind what goes on our airwaves.
Whether you're into music, news, culture, or something entirely unique, we want your voice in the mix.
Visit our website at wortfm.org/programming-committee, or you can email me directly with j.davis@wortfm.org, and we can start the conversation.
WORT, where your voice matters.
من لم يمت بالسيف مات بغيره. تعددت الأسباب والموت واحد. That's what we say in Arabic.
Yeah, I got that part. I got that part. So, translation. Whoever did not die by the sword will die by something else. The causes are many, but the death is the same. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another 1001st episode of Salamat.
That'll be 1001 Arabian shows.
Yes, 1001 shows.
Arabian shows.
Salamat is your weekly tour of Arab and Arab-American news, culture, issues, music, art.
Every Sunday we come to you live. We thank those who called to help us and raise funds for the show and the radio station the week before.
Yes, absolutely. So this,
we wouldn't be here 1001 episodes without the assistance of the listener in our community. And we're glad to be part of the community, the Arab American community here in Madison. And we're not representative per se. I don't want to be accused of being the representative or the ambassador.
No.
At least this is a platform where we have had the conversation between this and bridging the communities. I in the past said the U.S. was viewed as the melting pot for many years, but I see more of a tapestry, a mosaic, a quilt.
Yeah, I would say some squares in the quilt are larger than others.
Yeah, and they're morphing into, you know, their sizes are fluid. They're just changing as the demography changes. Thank you for Rowan Atala for the introduction. Rowan Atala is the translator extraordinaire. My name is Sabi Atiyya. We support WRT by volunteering for the show. And we want to thank you for your support. And mention that the proverb that we opened the show with today on this 24th day of March 2024, also known as the 14th day of Ramadan in the year 1445 after Hijra in the Islamic calendar. Yes, our Muslim listeners know that this is Ramadan. It started a couple weeks ago and goes through Tuesday, April 9 or Wednesday, April 10. Fajr this morning, this is the time where you can no longer eat in the morning. It was 5:34. The days are getting longer, and the sunset is later at 7:15 today, for those of you who are not able to check the time.
Still not quite as challenging as if it's in June.
Yes, in the last few years, it's been in the summer as the lunar cycle and the solar cycle do not mesh. Ramadan comes sooner, 10 to 11 days every year sooner. So when it does coincide with summer, those days are brutal. And then, obviously, 15 years later in the winter, hey, short, especially. So in the next couple of years, it'll be right smack dab, right in the middle of the shortest day of the year. March 21st marked the Mother's Day in the Arab world. So
that's
happy
right.
Mother's Day to all of the mamas out there. Also, it's equinox, when the day equals the night.
Not the same thing as a eunuch.
I was going to say unifying night and day. يعتدل الليل والنهار in Arabic.
The equipoise of day and night.
That's right. And I want to mention quickly that our proverb, as sad and morbid as it sounded like, there's, you know, if you didn't die by the sword, eventually you're going to die by something else, is by none other than the famous, and I mean, he's super famous in Al-Mutanabbi in the Arab world. His full name is Al- His full name is Abu Al-Tayyib Ahmad Ibn Al-Husayn Al-Mutanabbi Al-Kindi. That's a long name.
That is a long name.
But Al-Mutanabbi, one who claims to be a prophet. That's the description of that name. So that was the one that stuck on him. He pretended to be a prophet. But his poetic skills were just extremely poignant, and he started writing poetry when he was 9 years old. And in the old days in the Arab speaking world, writing poetry wasn't for the for anyone that just can write words together. There were so many rules and regulations governing the balance, the weight, the rhyme, the rhythm, the count of the. It's a serious science. But what I
or a serious art.
It is an art form, yes, using language, linguistic arts. So he was considered the proverbial man of his era, and it continues until today. And I wasn't aware of some of these proverbs that we've used here that were actually attributed to him. But we would use them because they were part of our shindig here.
Right.
But in my childhood, I've heard a lot of them, and none were attributed to him, and they made it into my memory forever. So he is behind many of the poems, not the poems, the proverbs that we use, because they're so deep and philosophical and memory worthy. So
this one in particular.
Yes.
I mean, is this...
This one in particular was triggered by... I was reading the news during the week to try to come up, to write up, write stories for Worldview and mm-hmm. this show. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of death and destruction. Whenever I think that there is a light at the end of a tunnel, I see more death at the end of the tunnel. And we, in the Arabic culture, we are very aware of the fact that we're not here permanently.
Right.
And I think more Americans are in head in the sand when it comes to death and dying.
Eventual mortality.
Yes. And I think being an Arab, culturally speaking, we're more aware of that. It's coming. The slower paces for some people and faster paces for some others. And there was a story about we'll cover the story in a minute, about migrants. They found mass grave in southern Libya, full of people who were trying to escape through Libya to the better world. And they were the bodies were... Nobody knows how they were killed or how they ended up dying. And it appears it was smugglers who they may have died in the possession of smugglers in a vehicle that didn't have enough air. So they just opened a pit and threw the bodies in there. So an ugly way to die. But there is no going. You can't prevent that. Not that method of death. You can't prevent death.
Right.
But it sometimes it comes to people in a very strange way. That's when you use that proverb.
So is this also, I mean, is any part of this, like, you would say maybe you don't need to seek martial glory because you're going to meet your end at some point anyway. You don't need to go out there looking for battle, looking for, like I said, martial glory. Is there any aspect of that
If those who don't die in what normally kills people really quickly, which is a war.
Mm-hmm.
So when he talks about the sword, it's not, you know, you're not juggling knives.
Right. Whoever you're. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So if you don't die via the method that most people recognize as a way of dying, which in the old days was, especially during his time, was war.
Right.
Or fighting. And when he mentions the sword, that literally means an attack by someone or something with a sword. A cow.
A cow wielding a sword.
With a sword. So I Al-Mutanabbi, if you remember that name, Al-Mutanabbi, his poetry is translated in many languages, but when I read it in Arabic, I get chills. When I read it in English, I go, huh? Who's translating this stuff?
I would imagine there's a selection of translations to choose from. And you feel like you have not yet come across one which adequately captures the spirit of what he's saying.
Yeah, I don't think we ever will when it comes to different languages. And that's why we remember the segment that we did years ago with jokes lost in translation, mm-hmm. where we do a joke in Arabic, and it's hilarious in Arabic. And what? What is that supposed to mean? Kind of in English. So let's dive. I'm going to get the. Do you have some community calendars real quick before we do the news, local and international?
We do, yes. We do have a couple of community calendar items, one of which is coming up tomorrow, Monday, March 25th at 6 p.m. at the Central Branch of the Madison Public Library. There will be a screening of the movie Israelism. This is a film made by a couple of Jewish filmmakers about their gradual realization of the misinformation that they were brought up surrounded by about the nature of the state of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So highly recommended. April 14th. This is a Sunday. This will be at Christ Presbyterian Church over sort of East Central Madison. The Rachel Corey Benefit, which is a commemorative event that has been produced by Madison Rafa Sister City Project for many, many years. It is an opportunity to kind of connect with other activists, if you are an activist, also an opportunity to hear an update from Rachel Corey's parents, which will include some commentary on the current happenings in Gaza. There will be some music provided by Ensemble Shamali, light refreshments, and much discussion. So again, that is Sunday, April 14th. Starting at 1:30, running until about 3:30 at Christ Presbyterian Church, the annual Rachel Corey benefit. A little further out on the horizon, there is a series of benefit concerts coming up. These are all fundraisers for the Middle East Children's Alliance. There is one on April 27th. This is in Viroqua at the Landmark Center in Viroqua, a couple hours drive from Madison. Be starting at 6 p.m., running till about 10. Another one on May 1st that is going to be at Giant Jones Brewery here in Central Madison. Starting at 5 p.m., running till about 8, that is a Wednesday, and that is their weekly pizza night. This one just happens to be on May Day. The slate of performers has not been finalized yet, but we will be announcing that in the future. And then May 22nd at 7 p.m. at the Burr Oak. This is going to be a little bit more of a hard rock show. So they're going to be, the performers are The Takeaways, 20-Minute Mission, and The Moon Boot. It is an amplified show, so bear that in mind. But again, I encourage everybody to come on out for a great night of music. And again, it is another fundraiser for Middle East Children's Alliance. So that's what I have currently for community calendar.
Thank you, Rowan. And we post these, cross-post these things on Facebook. And what else? I think there's also links to, on our Facebook page, to the Madison Rafa Sister City Project, I believe.
Yes.
Or a couple of things.
Although Madison Rafa Sister City Project and Palestine Partners both have
their own
They have their own Facebook pages. So if you want regular updates on events like these and other ones upcoming, I recommend that you subscribe to the feeds from both of those pages as well.
A lot of work. Here in the U.S. news, U.S. envoy Hochstein meets Lebanese Americans in Michigan as Biden struggles with a state that said uncommitted, or some of the most of the Arab American vote. And that. So this is a top aide to the current administration visited a battleground state of Michigan this week, where he met with members of the Lebanese American community They're basically asking them to reconsider support for the president, current president, to make sure he comes back to office in the fall, as part of a larger Arab American constituency that expressed anger against the Biden's administration due to Gaza policy. Amos Hochstein, who is currently trying to broker a deal that would halt cross-border fire between Lebanon and Hezbollah. Lebanese Hezbollah and Israel, I should say. He discussed U.S. efforts to reach such an agreement along the Lebanese-Israeli border to calm things down. The scrimmages along the Lebanese-Israeli borders are definitely a product of the Hezbollah group showing support for the Hamas group in Gaza shortly after the Israeli onslaught on Gaza. According to a statement from the American Task Force on Lebanon. That's a real thing. ATFLE. I guess that group organized the meeting, and during the event, the representatives from the U.S. government briefed the local community on Biden's administration's effort to restore calm in the region. I think, this is me talking now, not the group. I think in order to restore calm in the region, we should cut off the aggressor.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you say that, and
why?
Especially, okay.
But on
not funny, haha, just the timing here. So, yes. Okay, so we have administration, or at least campaign officials, trying to, butter up the Arab American community that has, you know, pretty much spoken out in the primary. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as a counterbalance to that, okay, so this was actually just published yesterday by Anadolu News Agency and updated today. So the U.S. Congress has passed a temporary budget. Okay, so we had talked about the bill that had $14 billion additional in military aid to Israel. And
that was
also
a standalone bill.
Right, and also incidentally cut... cut funding to UNRWA, right? Okay, so that kind of got all snarled up, and Congress said they weren't going to look at the Senate's version, and the Senate is kind of hemming and hawing over Congress's version. However, they've managed to pass a temporary budget which approves not the full $14 billion, but new military aid to Israel and halts funding to UNRWA for a year. So this was actually just passed yesterday, temporary budget proposal. Okay. And it is, of course, expected to be signed by President Biden. So this temporary budget allocates $3.8 billion in military aid to Israel from the total $886 billion budget for the U.S. Department of Defense. And you know, there is still the pending legislation with the additional $14 billion, but okay, so $3.8 billion and they put a moratorium on UNRWA funding for a year
until the new government.
Yes. Okay.
So until 2025 under a new government.
Right, and so okay, so here's Biden, kind of trying to scrape what is he trying to do? Like get people back? Well, at the same time, right, he's telegraphed that he is going to sign this into law.
Finland resumed their funding of UNRWA deliberately after this decision, or at least a couple of days before that. Now, some of the countries in Europe at one point also drank the lemonade and they bought the story that UNRWA has members of Hamas working in it. Therefore, they decided to cut funding to it. But Macron, the French president, went back again and reported, according to a conversation between he and Netanyahu, said that forcibly transferring people from Gaza's Rafah city, would be a war crime. That's Macron's words. So some countries who initially cut funding are looking at refunding UNRWA because of the vital role it plays in taking food to the Palestinians in Gaza. And right now, it's just not enough going through to Gaza. in the form of food, of what was being dropped from the sky. And Israel still refuses to bring any convoys or any serious food and food aid and medical aid to the enclave. And on top of that, the last couple of operating hospitals in Gaza were besieged again by Israeli army.
Yep.
Two more Gaza hospitals were demanded to be evacuated so the Israelis can go in and clean up the Hamas remnants, if there are any. They make the claim that Hamas is operating from within hospitals, which has definitely been a load of lies. Many of the videos that the Israelis produced showing evidence were debunked.
Yep. And okay, so, and on top of that, right, this actually was posted just less than an hour ago. An Al Jazeera, Israel has informed the UN that it will no longer approve UNRWA food convoys to North Gaza, where 70% of people face the highest level of food scarcity. Mm-hmm. Martin Griffiths, the Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Affairs and Emergency Relief Coordinator at the UN, says he repeatedly urged Israel to lift all its restrictions on aid to Gaza, but it has now done the exact opposite. He said UNRWA is the beating heart of the humanitarian response in Gaza, talking about this, the organization that provides aid to the Palestinian refugees, and they've now been told by Israel that its food convoys to northern Gaza will be blocked entirely.
Well, in Gaza itself, the faithful walked slowly in procession past the stone facade of Gaza's only Catholic church on today, gathering to pray for peace as war raged around them, literally. Holy Family Church's tranquil courtyard, filled with dozens of children and older people, wondering about the humanitarian crisis that they're in it, they're living in and inside the church. Worshippers in their relatively dressed clothes lined the wooden pews decorated with palm fronds and the service marking the start of Easter week. In Gaza, even under fire, these resilient Palestinians are going to church when traditionally they had the ability to do so. And I've seen videos and pictures of Muslims praying in a rubble where the mosque used to be, because it's, in some cases, that's where they had the only ability, the only place that they can actually congregate and pray.
Yep. In the meantime, Secretary of State Antony Blinken said on Thursday in Cairo that he believed talks mediated by the U.S., Qatar, and Egypt could still reach a ceasefire deal between Hamas and Israel. But with all of the pressure coming from the Biden administration, so Blinken even says an Israeli assault on Gaza's Rafah would be a mistake and isn't needed to defeat Hamas. So this is his sixth mission to try to negotiate a ceasefire. And so, you know, U.S. position has shifted relative to Rafah, anyway, has shifted significantly in recent days. U.S. officials originally said they could not support a major incursion into the city unless there was a clear and credible plan for getting civilians out of harm's way. Now U.S. officials have basically concluded there is no credible way to do that, given the density of the population, more than 1 million people packed into Rafah. But of course, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, on a roughly 45-minute call with GOP senators last Wednesday, pledged to ignore warnings about a Rafah operation, also took aim at Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer's condemnation last week of the civilian death toll in Gaza and his call for new elections in Israel in a speech that President Biden later said was good. So Netanyahu has stressed that Israel is going to move ahead in Rafah regardless, according to senators who participated in the meeting. Senator John Kennedy, a Louisiana Republican, said Netanyahu made it very clear that he and the people of Israel intend to prosecute the war to the full extent of their power and that he would not be dictated to by Senator Schumer or President Biden.
by some Schumer guy.
Right.
What does
exactly.
he know? Hey, speaking of California. Was that a good segue?
It's different. Okay. Different topic.
Governor Newsom's open letter to California's Muslims, Palestinian Americans, and Arab American communities was posted to the office of the governor's Gavin Newsom's webpage. It's a long, very thoughtfully thought of letter. I just want to let our listener know that in conclusion, the kind governor said to every Muslim, Palestinian American, and Arab American who calls California home, please know that you belong here. He talks about the war, the innocent people, the losing of family members overseas. He talks about the Trump announcements in the past, the hateful Muslim ban. Talked about Americans, Latinos, Jews, and LGBTs, and Californians, and how California is Asian, African, and all of these different flavors. He being proud of it and hating any signs of the swelling tide of bigotry. So I posted that for our listener. If you haven't heard about this, I encourage you to read the whole letter. It is worth the time. And speaking of time, before we run out of time, we mentioned the Libyan case of the International Organization for Migration announced in a statement last Friday that a mass grave containing the bodies of at least 65 migrants was found in southern Libya this week. The circumstances are unknown. Who they are and what countries they come from are unknown, but they know that it appears that they're being smuggled across the desert. After more than a decade of chaos since the overthrow and killing of Libya's President Muammar Gaddafi back in 2011, Libya became a route for human smugglers who have long been accused of committing such crimes against the migrants after charging them a truckload of money. The United Nations expressed its appreciation for the Libyan authorities launching an investigation into the death of the migrants and called on the Libyan government to ensure the recovery all of the remains of the deceased migrants and identifying them and transferring them to in a manner that is preserve dignity of the victim and assist their families in recognizing where their relatives are. The worst thing you could do is not know your loved one went on foot heading to Europe or was taken to hopefully arrive in Europe at some point, but instead you haven't heard from them in years. So hopefully this will bring closure to that. 3,129 deaths and missing persons were reported in 2023 on their Mediterranean route to Europe, making it the deadliest in the world. Compared to other places where migrants move from one country to the next or one continent to the next, this crossing in particular through Libya, the Mediterranean to Italy, is the deadliest head count.
I can believe that.
How are we doing on time?
We are just about out of time.
How did that happen?
Well,
what about our musical interlude?
We'll use that as an outro.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the 1,001st episode of Salamat, your weekly tour of Arab and Arab American news, culture, issues, art, music. One day we'll get back to the food when Gaza can actually eat again. Stay tuned for the Pachyderm Parade coming up next here on WORT 89.9 FM. And we are going to leave you with a sampling from the BDS mixtape Volume 1. The album is called People of Eternity. This track is from Deccan. The title is Defan An-Nafs.
Defending oneself.
Exactly. So, until
next
we
week.
Are in each other's company again next week, we will bid you farewell by saying, as always, in Arabic,
Assalamu alaikum.
In English, peace be upon you.
دفاعا عن نفس بحط القلب بالفرد بسالش دارس عدارس بشبعش بشتريش عدي انتاجه ببلاش دفاع عن النفس اذا انتو مش منا بنصحش ترمشش ضلكم بس عبولو بطنو للوحش علينا حواجز حواجز تمرش انتو علينا معانا مفهمش تدخل عبيتنا بهريك تدخل عبيتنا بأزيك صفوا النفوس حضر طقوس ولع بنزين غصوني جذور وين الحشود افتح طريق حبنا دايما لطيف عشان فلسطين بأزيك دفاعا عن النفس بعبي القلب بالفرد بسالش نعمل انا فوق براقب بنزلش كبسوا الحي المطاط ما وقفش دفاعا عن النفس قاري مش قاري انا كاتب بشبعش لكن مش لكن انا كاتب تسمعش اخذ لك دارك وترك لك الفرش تقعد تطخوا دفاعا عن النفس دفاعا عن مين دفاعا عن النفس الالم بالايد دفاعا عن النفس بكبسوا فيك دفاعا عن النفس بكتب منيح دفاعا عن النفس بعرف الزقه بعرف انهيك دفاعا عن فكره مقبوره بقبور دفاعا عن ضي دفاعا عن روح دفاعا عن اطراب دفاعا عن مين طبقت السم تعال عشيك دفاعا عن مين دفاعا عن النفس حافظ الدرب تعال اوديك بعرف الكلب تعال مشيك لعبة السرد بعرف احكيك دفاعا عن مين دفاعا عن صوت بفعوا فيك دفاعا عن شباب ما طلعوش مناديك دفاعا عن النفس بحط القلب بالفرد بسالش دارس على دارس ضل اكل بشبعش بشتريش عدي انتاجه ببلعش دفاعا عن النفس اذا انتو مش منا بنصحش ترمشش ضلكم بس عبولو بطنو للوحش علينا حواجز حواجز تمرش انتو علينا معانا بفهم دفاعا عن النفس بعبي القلب بالفرد بسالش كبسوا الحي المطاط ما وقفش دفاعا عن النفس
The final home game of the 2024 Madison Miller Derby season is on Saturday, April 6th in the arena at the Alliant Energy Center. This month's matchups are Reservoir Dolls versus Unholy Rollers and Vixens versus Quad Squad. Doors at 5 p.m., skates hit the track at 6 p.m. Tickets can be purchased online at madisonrollerderby.org/tickets or at the door. The final home game of the 2024 Madison Roller Derby season is on Saturday, April 6th in the arena at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. Supporting community nonprofits since 1975,